Spoiler alert, at the end of this episode...
Nope. Don't tell me.
Let me guess.
Oh, I know that. Now, don't tell me.
Okay, you'll just have to listen to this exclusive episode from the Odyssey Adventure Club.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Avery Whittaker. Welcome to a special edition of BTV Investigates.
Constance Kendall, please take the stand.
Today, we're in the Odyssey Courthouse, where Connie Kendall is appearing before Judge Simon Jones.
Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
So help me God.
Your Honor, I object.
Oh, and Eugene Meltzner is her counsel for the defense.
You object? She's being sworn in. To what could you object?
The use of the word truth.
Oh, I knew this was a bad idea.
Eugene, she's here because of a parking ticket.
Wouldn't the court agree that the significance of the charge has no bearing on the importance of truth?
Eugene.
Bear with me, Miss Kendall.
You probably guessed it. Today, we're exploring the truth. Don't go away. Truth. We yearn for it. We demand it from others. We duck and dodge it when it makes us uncomfortable. We can rest in it or stumble over it. Some say there are half-truths or degrees of truth. Some say it can be defined for everyone. And others believe that it can be determined by a majority. So, what is the truth about truth?
All right. Now look, the truth is...
There wasn't a grain of truth in that statement.
Well, he has a way of stretching the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what they say. Truth is stranger than fiction.
This is the moment of truth.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
This is the city, Jerusalem, a hotbed of political intrigue, corruption, and crime. Ooh, a city filled with foreigners, soldiers, religious zealots, and sheep. Lots and lots of sheep. Doilicus is the name. Harlequin Doilicus, Private Roman Eye. 8 a.m. found me racing down the Via Dolorosa in a chariot to the governor's mansion. I had been summoned by Mrs. Dilberius, a servant of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Israel.
Ah, Mr. Doilicus.
None other.
Oh, thank you for coming. This is a very delicate matter. Very delicate indeed.
Ooh, delicate is my middle name. I am the epitome of discretion and pronunciation. I do Fragile pretty well, too. What's the governor need from me?
No, it is not the governor. Hmm? It's his wife, Claudia.
What's her problem?
She can't sleep.
Try reading her bedtime stories.
They don't help.
Tell her to count sheep.
It doesn't work. She has a sheep apnea.
Why call me? I'm a detective, not a doctor.
No doctor can help her with this. The problem is something deep inside her soul. She wants to know the truth.
The truth? What is truth?
That's what the governor asked, right before he executed a man that Claudia had dreamed about.
She dreamed the man was executed, or he executed a man she had dreamed about?
Yes! What?
Beats me.
She's haunted by nightmares about this man, and she wanted to know the truth about him.
Does this man have a name?
Yes, a Jesus from Nazareth.
I've heard of him.
What have you heard?
Oh, you know. He was a carpenter, a healer, a rebel, son of God, usual sort of thing.
That's what Claudia needs to know. Who was he really?
Hmm.
I believe she will be able to rest once she knows the truth.
So you want me to investigate a dead man?
Oh, well, that's the other thing. He's not so dead anymore.
Ooh.
So you see, Your Honor, if the court considers mere statements of fact as the totality of the truth, then the very Declaration of Independence is suspect, since Thomas Jefferson declared certain truths as self-evident, yet those truths were not a practical or legal reality at the time he wrote
them. Eugene, it's simple. Either Connie was parked in a no-parking zone, or she wasn't.
I'm afraid it isn't quite that simple, Your Honor. Huh. The fact that it was a no-parking zone is contingent on the time of day. It is a perfectly acceptable parking zone after 6 p.m.
All right, fine. So was she parked there before or after 6?
According to whom?
What? Eugene, 6 o'clock is 6 o'clock.
Oh, is it, Your Honor? Oh. You see, the truth in this case is now dependent on an important factor.
Oh.
And now,
great moments in history. 1738, the Virginia colony.
George Washington?
Father?
Did you just chop down my cherry tree?
I cannot tell a lie, Father. No.
No? What do you mean, no? The tree lies on the ground, the hatchet is in your hand, and you just yelled, timber! And I saw you do it! How can you say that you didn't chop down my cherry tree?
Because that is not your cherry tree.
Oh.
Hey, what you done to my cherry tree?
Uh-oh.
Hey, I don't care if you're gonna be president! You gotta plant another cherry tree!
This has been Great Moments in History.
Technically, truth is defined as an exact statement of what is, what has been, or what will be. But truth is also understood by its opposite. Something that is a lie can only be a lie if the truth is known. And truth can be twisted into a lie.
Welcome, neighbor. You made it just in time for a little story. It's an old fable that begins on a country road many, many years ago. On this road walked Mr. Truth.
Hello.
And coming the other direction was Mr. Falsehood.
Well, well, Mr. Truth.
Good afternoon, Mr. Falsehood.
I tell you what, let's have a truce. Let me buy you lunch.
What's the catch?
No catch. I mean, I want only one thing.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Since it's a truce, I promise not to say a word against you, and you promise not to say a word against me, no matter what. It's a truce. That's what you do. Come on, climb off your high horse for a few hours. Let's go.
Mr. Truth reluctantly agreed and went with Mr. Falsehood to the very best restaurant and sat at the very best table and ate the very best food.
How's the foie gras?
I can't lie. It's the best.
Yeah.
They ate all afternoon, and at last, when they could hold no more...
Let me get the bill. Waitress! And remember our agreement.
Of course, though I can't imagine how you're gonna pay for all this.
Your bill, sir.
What? This is outrageous. I'd like to speak to the manager.
Is something wrong, sir?
Get the manager!
Yes, sir.
What are you doing?
Paying for our meal. Watch and learn.
I'm the manager. What seems to be the problem?
Your waitress has tried to cheat me.
Oh. What?
What?
You want to watch her closely. I paid her earlier. Now she's just brought me the bill, expecting to be paid again.
No!
Please accept my apologies, sir. I will see that your money is returned. Your meal is on the house.
Well, that's more like it.
It's not true. You know it's not true.
I'll see you in the kitchen.
I didn't...
Have a nice day. You see how easy that was. You didn't have to do a thing or even say a word.
Yes. I see that when I'm silent, you deceive people all the more. I'm ashamed of myself for allowing hunger and vanity and comfort to compromise who I am. Goodbye, Mr. Falsehood.
Nice seeing you, Mr. T.
And so Mr. Truth and Mr. Falsehood went their separate ways and never traveled together again. In fact, their battle became all the more intense after that. And so it continues to this very day.
Truth that is silent is no truth at all. So what is truth, and how do we find it? We'll explore that more when VTV returns in just a moment. Welcome back to BTV and our investigation of truth. I'm in the Odyssey courthouse, where Eugene is still testing the validity of Connie's parking ticket before Judge Simon Jones.
Your Honor, is time constant?
Of course it is, Eugene.
Yet, we change our clocks twice a year as part of daylight savings, which means that, though time is constant, how we recognize it changes.
Yeah, fine. What's your point?
Miss Kendall's ticket and fine are for parking in a space that becomes a parking zone after 6 o'clock p.m.
But according to the ticket, she was in that zone 10 minutes before 6 p.m.
Yes, according to the ticket. So, Your Honor, do you believe the truth of this case is determined by a ticket?
What are you getting at?
10:45 a.m. After getting a few more facts from the governor's wife, I made my way to the Sanhedrin, the Hebrews' ruling council. Several of them had run-ins with this Christ fellow, including a man named Nicodemus.
Yes, I met with him by night.
By night? You met him twice?
No, not by, as in two times. I met him at night.
Please try to make your statements clear from now on.
So sorry.
So, why did you meet him by night?
Because I didn't want the others to know I had been talking to him.
Well, why? What did you talk about?
It was quite profound, really. He moved me.
Where to?
Emotionally. He moved me emotionally. He said we all need to be born again.
How's that?
To enter the kingdom of God, we must become as innocent as little children. The only way to do that is to be born again.
Did he ever say who he was?
I thought at the time he was just a great teacher. But now I believe he is the Son of God. He told me that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life.
I see. So this Jesus thought that people would gain eternal life
by believing that he is the Son of God. Yes.
No offense, sir, but claiming to be God's son, telling people they have to be born again and believe in him for eternal life, doesn't it all seem a little,
crazy?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. The thought had crossed my mind.
And?
Have you ever talked to a crazy man, detective?
Only when I'm looking in the mirror.
Very amusing and believable.
Yeah. What is?
In all seriousness, Jesus' demeanor was always calm and peaceful. Completely in control. I detected no insanity in him during our conversations.
Is that so?
What's more, for the better part of 3 years, I've received reports about other things he said.
Such as?
Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Judge not that you not be judged. Do these sound like the words of a crazy man?
Well, so you believe he was in full control of his mental faculties, eh?
Detective, I believe that Jesus may be the most sane man I have ever known.
Your Highness, your elephant has arrived.
Ah! Oh, he's a big one.
Yes, sire. And may I ask why you requested one inside the palace?
To make a point about truth. Have you summoned the 3 blindfolded men?
Yes, my king. Enter!
Sorry.
We can pay for those things.
Oh, never mind. I have brought you in because I want your opinion.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those.
I want you to touch and then describe the object which stands before you.
All right, that's it?
That's it. Now tell me what it is.
Yes, sire. All right, it's leathery and round and fat and cool and big. Is it a massive wineskin?
No. It's leathery and cool, but long and thick and very flexible. Ooh, I can get my arms around it with no trouble. It must be a boa constrictor.
Careful! Now you're both wrong. It's hard and cool, like a sword, and oh boy, it's really pointy, sharp. It is a spear.
Thank you all. You may go.
Okay.
Well, what does this tell you about truth?
3 men observed the same thing, but came up with 3 different objects. It is as I have suspected. Truth is elusive and depends on one's direct experience with it.
Nope. Wrong.
Sire?
The truth is not elusive or subject to experience. If you can see it clearly, you and I see that it is an elephant. That the others mistook it for something else doesn't stop it from being an elephant.
That's true.
What do we base the truth upon? Ourselves? Our culture? A philosophy? A feeling?
Faulty data?
Or that? If the truth is based on the wrong thing, then we're living a deception. And more importantly, will we recognize the truth when it's put in front of us?
1:50 p.m. After my meeting with Nicodemus, I decided to talk to someone who actually followed Jesus of Nazareth. Disciples, they're called. One of my informants gave me a tip about a house of olives near Mount Small. Make that a small house near the Mount of Olives. It was there that I met a woman named Miriam.
Yes, I was his follower. He healed me.
Stepped on you, eh?
No, I had a terrible sickness, and he made me well again.
Pretty wild behavior for a good teacher, though a nice guy might know how to do that.
Good teacher? Nice guy? He was more than that.
Oh, more than that? As in, for example, the Son of God?
Yes.
Did he ever say he was that?
Yes.
And you believed him?
He is the Son of God.
And what makes you so sure he wasn't pulling a fast one on everyone?
A man who did what he did and said what he said and then died on the cross for our sins and has destroyed death by rising from the grave? Well, how could that be lying?
You saw all this for yourself?
Yes, I saw it all.
And how do I know you're not lying?
Detective, Jesus died for the truth. His followers are being hounded, imprisoned. Some have died because of the truth. None of us would do that for a lie. You're looking for the truth about Jesus, right?
That's right.
Well, Jesus didn't just tell the truth, though his words were truth. He said he is the truth, the way, the life. In him, we find all three.
How can a man be the truth?
I plan to spend the rest of my life, maybe all eternity, finding out.
The glorious days of Solomon had ended, and the kingdom of Israel was divided by war. The king of Babylon seized the opportunity to attack. He destroyed the temple and carried God's people into exile in Babylon. In time, the Jews asked their captors if they could return home to rebuild the temple. The king would always agree.
Oh, sure, why not?
But never let them go.
Hey, where are you going? Get back here.
Years went by. Eventually, Darius came to power as the new king, and after his coronation, threw a great party for the entire kingdom. Yay! When the celebration was over, Darius went back to his palace and fell asleep.
I love being king.
Meanwhile, his three young bodyguards, one of whom was a scholar named Zerubbabel, got into a debate over the question, what is the strongest thing in the world? When they could not agree, Zerubbabel had an idea to resolve the debate.
We'll each write a single sentence explaining what we believe is the strongest thing in the world and place them under the king's pillow. Tomorrow, when he awakens, he will decide.
Oh, and then the king will lavish me with riches and great honor.
No, he will give me a title of respect and a place beside him as the wisest of the land.
Actually, I was hoping he'd allow the winner to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there is that, yeah.
So they each wrote down what they believed was the strongest thing in the world and then placed the writings under the pillow of the sleeping king. The next morning, Darius read what the three young men had written. Then sat in his judgment hall and ordered the three young men before him to justify their opinions.
All right, unnamed first man. You wrote, wine is the strongest thing in the world. Explain yourself.
Oh, king, how strong is wine? It makes fools even of the greatest men, even the mightiest king. If wine can do this, is it not the strongest thing in the world?
Not bad. How about you, unnamed second man? The king is the strongest thing in the world. Setting aside the obvious attempt at flattery, explain yourself.
The king is mighty above all else. If he bids men go to war, they do it. And when they have conquered the country, they bring all the spoil to the king. All his people obey his commands, and he does as he pleases. Does this not prove that the king is mightiest?
I like your style, kid, even if it is a little foot-kissy. Huh. All right, you, Zerubbabel. Whatever. You wrote, truth is the strongest. Convince me.
O king, wine is strong and dulls men's senses so they do wicked things. The king is great and strong, but even the greatest and strongest of men will die. But truth lasts forever. It is always strong, it never dies, and is never defeated. Without truth, there is no respect of persons, and it cannot be bribed. It does what is just, not wicked. It is strength, power, and majesty. Blessed be the God of truth.
Blessed be the God of truth.
Zerubbabeluger.
Zerubbabel.
Whatever. You win, hands down. You're definitely the wisest. Ask whatever you want, and I'll grant it.
Oh, King, I ask that you keep close to the truth and fulfill the decree made before the King of Heaven, which promises to allow us to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple of our God.
All right, I'll do it. In fact, I hereby send you to oversee the entire project. Have at it.
Thank you, O King. And thank you, Lord God Jehovah.
Long live Zerubbi-dooby-doo.
Zerubbabel.
Whatever.
Eugene, seriously, there are other cases waiting.
I'm waiting.
I am not uncognizant of that fact, Your Honor.
Oh.
The ticket upon which the accusation is based indicates that Connie was parked in a no-parking zone before 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
If true, then she would be guilty as charged.
Yep.
However,
oh.
I will submit to you that the electronic device used by the traffic warden was, in fact, in error.
Hmm?
And how do you know that?
Diagnostics, Your Honor.
What?
I work with City Hall in the calibration of their computer systems in alignment with the City Hall timekeeping program. At the time Connie was parked in the no-parking zone, the program was being recalibrated, causing the systems to freeze for approximately 15 minutes. The traffic warden's device indicated she was there at 10 minutes before 6 p.m., when in fact she was 15 minutes later, 6:05. What the court might have considered the simple truth, was Connie parked in a no-parking zone or not, was based on a faulty assumption. Connie is, in truth, innocent.
Are you being paid by the hour? Why didn't you say so in the first place? Case dismissed. I'm going to lunch.
Thanks, Eugene.
My pleasure.
6:02 p.m. Baffled, I stop by my favorite dive for a nice supper. I was just about to sink my incisors into a tuna and rye hold the mayo when a Roman centurion sat down at my table.
You Harlequin Doilicus?
Maybe I am, and maybe I'm not.
I hear you're looking for info on an executed criminal, that right?
Maybe it is, and maybe it isn't.
I'm the centurion who is in charge of the execution.
Maybe you are, and maybe... You are?
Yeah.
Hmm. What can you tell me about him?
Well, you didn't hear this from me, but I've executed dozens of criminals. But Jesus of Nazareth was different.
How so?
What kind of man, nailed to a cross and being ridiculed by everyone around him, calls out to God to forgive us for crucifying him?
You tell me.
And then the darkness came, and the earthquake, and I realized the truth.
What truth?
The truth. He was who he said he was, the Son of God. That's all I have to say.
Maybe it is, and maybe it isn't.
See you around.
Guess it was. Suddenly, I wasn't hungry anymore. I made my way to the governor's house where I explained my findings to Mrs. Delberius.
So, what are you telling me, detective?
I'm just giving you the facts, ma'am. He wasn't just a good teacher, or crazy, or a con artist, or a rebel, or a nice guy. Take everything he said and did, and none of those are options.
Then, you're suggesting that he... Is it possible?
That's what Mrs. Pilot has to decide.
But that would mean the governor killed the Son of God.
We all did, ma'am. But good thing for us, he didn't let it end there.
Do you really believe that?
Maybe I do, and maybe I do.
What is truth? For Christians, following the truth means we're really following a person, Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ, the one proclaimed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for joining us for this special BTV Investigates.
You may have heard some people say that what's true for one person isn't true for someone else. But Jesus said it's not up to people to decide what's true. God knows the truth. So whenever a new idea comes along, open your Bible to see if that idea lines up with God's Word. The Bible is how we can measure what's really true. Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. BTV, To Tell the Truth, an Odyssey Adventure Club exclusive, was written and directed by Phil Lawler, with sound design by Jonathan Crow and music by John Campbell. Our executive producer was Dave Arnold. Our cast included Andre Stoika, Katie Lee, Will Ryan, Joel McCrary, Earl Bowen, Phil Lawler, Fred Tatasciore, and Carrie Walgren. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.